You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You are on 95BFM, and in our next story, what's happened, Connor?
Well, there have been updates on Brexit.
Yeah.
There have been serious updates on Brexit.
Cool.
So what I was going to do is, as I said at the top of the show, no one knows what's going on. Like, no, seriously, no one, even Parliament sort of only have about 50% of an idea of what's going on.
Sure.
So I've kind of been going through documents and news articles and what have you, and I've got not a complete idea, but as a closer idea than before, something that gives you the general rough outline of what's going on.
Okay.
And the sort of the wider context of this. So the first thing is, you might be wondering, all of you know, listeners out there, why was the UK and the EU in the first place? Because it never actually seemed like they wanted to be there. And the reason why it was is because back in when the UK signed up to it in the 1970s, the UK was bankrupt. It was the kind of sick economy of Europe. Like, a lot of economies in Europe suffered with decolonization.
Okay.
Because you think about when you have colonies all over the world, you're getting a massive amount of revenue in, and that just suddenly stops overnight with independence. So, which meant that the countries went into a huge amount of debt. So they basically had to come together. The UK was forced to come together into the common market because they couldn't guarantee the security of selling to markets like Australia or New Zealand or India or Jamaica or anything like that, on the off chance that those countries would decide they actually didn't want anything to do with the UK anymore, and then the UK's kind of out on their own. So they had to go into it, and in the process it was kind of worked for the Labour Party at the time, because their attitude was kind of bigger Europe, smaller empire, which was basically turning around to Australia, New Zealand and India and basically saying, you're part of a horrible past we'd like to forget and we don't want anything to do with you anymore. Which is something that's very contentious in the UK, and is very contentious here, and there's actually still not just in New Zealand but a lot of Australians and Indians.
Well, yeah, of
and
course.
Very,
because
you know,
that's an ineffective way to address it.
Because it basically just screwed the agricultural industry here for, well, sent it into free fall for about a year until it finally, New Zealand found and Australia found other markets. Anyway, went into that. They got a special deal. The UK got a special deal with immigration where you had to show ID cards. They still weren't happy. They had a special deal with keeping their currency, the pound, because it was one of the strongest in Europe. They still weren't happy with that. Basically, it all came to free movement. A lot of people who subscribed to Farage good, foreigners bad, went out to vote in 2016, after this, the idea of leaving the EU had been floated quite a few times. And the vote came in 51.89% in favour of leaving the EU. And that was when the UK was kind of at an all-time high. It had gone from the 70s point of being in a massive amount of debt to being fifth or sixth largest economy in the world.
Right.
So they didn't really need the EU like they did before to get goods into the common market and rah-de-rah-de-rah. So David Cameron obviously resigned, being a Remain supporter, because he basically, the first thing he did when he actually gained a majority in Parliament was screw it all up by giving it away in an EU referendum. Theresa May came in and took the leadership under a divided party. Corbyn came in, did exactly the same thing. And then we had the election in 2017 that was kind of meant to be the it's almost meant to be a second Brexit referendum. It was meant to be like, do we want to go with the pro-Leave party, the Tories, or do we want to go with the Remain party,
Labour? So your vote for a party kind of indicated your leanings on Brexit.
Sort of, yeah, okay. When we actually realised what Brexit meant. What it meant was, how that election turned out was Theresa May, who basically treated the election as a foregone conclusion, went into it saying, strong and stable leadership, I've got this, basically. Lost her majority and had to form a coalition with the Northern Irish DUP, who were pro keeping an open Irish border. So that was another headache in the Brexit for her. Jeremy Corbyn ended up kicking out the Blairites, so he gained more control over his party. Just to give you an idea of how much the Tories lost that kind of informal referendum, the Canterbury constituency in Kent had been Tory since 1910 until last year. So that's how much, there was a backlash against the Labour Party.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, kind of from this point on, that kind of set the tone for May's prime ministership. The vultures have been circling for a while. The party's kind of been unable to agree on most of the fine details. And when May won her agreement from the cabinet to pursue a free trade area between the UK and the EU, she saw David Davis, who's the Brexit secretary, and Boris Johnson, the foreign secretary, both hand in resignations, with Johnson saying, and I quote, the UK was heading for the status of a colony. Yeah, he said that. The current events have been defined kind of by the customs union debacle, essentially. The customs union proposal basically keeps the UK in a trade union with the EU, meaning trade won't be hindered by a whole range of new barriers, meaning you don't have endless lines of lorries sitting on the motorways, you don't have ships going through endless checks, you don't have goods that suddenly aren't allowed to come into the UK or have to see massive price hikes, that sort of thing. Problem is that the Brexiteers didn't want that either. They thought that we could get it cheaper from the Commonwealth or create our own products to replace the stuff coming with Europe from Europe. But it passed nonetheless, and then there was even more division. Then there was the Chequers plan, which literally only a few days ago just got knocked down by the EU. Now that plan would have seen a common rule book for all goods going to and from the EU. It would have seen a treaty with the Republic of Ireland separate from the EU to continue the open border, the frictionless border and the trade agreement. Parliament would have the liberty to diverge from EU rules when required, and the agreement would allow the UK to control trade tariffs with other nations without attracting EU tolls. So basically means that, say, the foreign minister for New Zealand that wants to sign a free trade agreement with New Zealand, with the UK, New Zealand beef being imported into the UK wouldn't attract an extra tax from the European Union. It would only be subject to whatever regulations went on between New Zealand or the UK government. Problem is the EU negotiators, half her party, and the Irish and the Spanish governments disagreed with it. This kind of left her trapped by her party divisions with kind of little command over a really divided Commons and no deal for Brexit. So only a week ago, the Times leaked a memo with the Tory cabinet outlining a plan to oust May, listing potential successors. Thankfully, Jacob Rees-Mogg and Johnson weren't included, but David Davis and Amber Rudd was. And I don't know how Amber Rudd would be in the Windrush scandal.
Amber Rudd is very Theresa May-like.
Yeah, she kind of is. And during her time with Home Secretary and cutting police and allowing terrorist radicals to kind of thrive. And basically the point is that happened. And then now only a day ago, there's just been announced that we might be going into a snap election in November.
So how many would that be in the last few years?
The third straight UK-wide national poll in 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
One for each year.
Giving Australia a run for their money at the moment in terms of prime ministers. Basically what it means is it's going to mean that it's just going to be a consolidation of leadership. It's going to mean, do we want to... it's good, basically going to air out all that division in the Conservative Party. So it's either going to be people get sick of the Conservative Party for infighting and they go Labour. If Jeremy Corbyn can pull it together and actually tell us his stance on Brexit, which he still hasn't yet. Basically it gives people a opportunity to vote for clear and decisive leadership instead of having a party with two divided wings who won't speak to each other, who can't even pass the most basic legislation through.
Right.
So, yeah. And all of this in light of 29th of March being Brexit Day.
Yeah.
So by 29th of March, if we don't have anything sorted with the EU, we're crashing out with, we are up a certain creek without a certain paddle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Lots to come on that story, eh?
Yes.
Well,
keep you posted.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.